Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I welcome you here in Jesus' name this morning. And I was thinking about, it's kind of like normal for me, my thoughts. I can't get my thoughts to run smooth, it seems like. A week ago in my shower, I can make a whole lot more sense of my message than I can when I sit down and try to write it out. And I don't know if I need to take my notebook in the shower with me or what. But anyway, I hope it makes sense to you. This morning I want to talk about a subject that we're pretty quick to acknowledge and talk about some about, but I don't hear a lot of people discussing it. And it could be that some people do more than others. And this is probably because of the circumstances that must take place before this subject is reality for us. Or maybe life has us sidetracked. It could be another reason. And the subject I want to talk about is heaven. And the definition, just a quick definition of heaven, is a place of eternal bliss. So what do you think about when you think about heaven? Do you wonder if your favorite pastime or hobby is going to be part of it? Do you wonder if you will recognize your favorite mountain range? Children often wonder if their favorite pet or something similar will be in heaven. And I don't know what all is going to be in heaven. I know the Bible tells us there's going to be gold and a sea clear as crystal. And for those that make it there, the Bible makes it very clear that it will be overwhelming. And they will never wish for anything that isn't there. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It'll tell us that. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There's more there than we can think about. So, as I was thinking about this, what is the reason that we become Christians? What is a reason that we want forgiven excuse me, for our sins? Is it to buy our ticket to heaven, like securing a good retirement? Maybe partly, depends how you look at it, but not really. Don't we seek peace and forgiveness of sin to escape God's wrath and have a relationship with him? And if you think about it, the peace and the forgiveness of sins and sins being washed away, that's more than we deserve by a long shot, just that alone. And yet God didn't stop there. Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 to 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that's how amazing our God is. Sometimes we use the phrase, a little heaven on earth. And God gives us enjoyments here. And I think he wants us to enjoy things here. They seem pretty good sometimes. But I don't believe anything here compares to heaven. In Revelation 21, it tells us that John saw a city where the animal kingdom is at peace with each other. He talks about beautiful stones and gold. And it stood out to me in studying this that God must like gold. And I wondered about that. If you go read in Exodus 25, God told Moses to have the people build him a sanctuary, and a lot of gold was to be used. And that's where God would come and dwell, and they could come and meet with God there. And I just wondered, is God trying to help us understand His greatness? And how we can understand the value and beauty of gold? Can you imagine the road running past your house being made of gold? It's a little bit hard for me to imagine a gravel road without potholes. That would be pretty nice. So what is not in heaven? I thought I might have had a verse for this. It's still there in Revelation 21. There's no pain. There's no physical problems at all. You won't see anyone struggling to walk or breathe. No sickness, no worry, no weeds. You know, there's this thing they call back to Eden. It's in the gardening people that do gardening. And it's where you mulch your garden and you don't have to do anything else. They make it sound like it's all you got to do. You just mulch it and you come back at harvest time and everything's good. And it might be a little bit that way, but we're a long way from Eden. We ain't never going to be there. There's no ticks in heaven. There's no skeeters. If that don't mean anything to you, you need to go over to the Lynn Bottoms some evening about dark and walk around, and you'll understand why you don't want mosquitoes. We worked on a job. We logged a job along the current river. And there was quite a few deer flies and some mosquitoes. And then we got a big rain and it flooded over in there for 2 weeks. And when we went back in there, the mosquitoes were so bad, they ran the deer flies off. They sure wasn't there anymore. And it was awful. It was like the most miserable thing you can imagine. There won't be none of that. It also tells us in Revelation 21, in heaven there is no death, no sorrow. God will wipe away our tears. No hard thing we face here will be in heaven. And we all know of someone whose life as we know it here on earth ended, and the pain and the sorrow that goes along with that. We hold on to memories, some of us maybe more than others. And even though with time it gets easier, there's still the times of sorrow. And thinking back on my 13th birthday, there had been me and my brother Dwight's. We had sub sandwiches for supper that night. Mom made us sub sandwiches for our birthday supper. But there wasn't much celebration. I'm sorry, I was hoping I wouldn't do this. Anyway, that evening, or up until that time, my sister had been very sick. And was having headaches, and rightfully so, Mom and Dad were concerned about this. They actually took my sister to the emergency room the evening of our birthday. And I don't say any of that because our 13th birthday wasn't much. That does not bother me at all. My sister was 16 at the time. Next older than me and Dwight. She was diagnosed with cancer. And the next 3 years, much doctoring. And hospital visits. After much doctoring and hospital visits, she died on July 11, 1999. A little over a month after her 19th birthday. I'm sorry. As a 13 to a 16-year-old, the age I was when this took place, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking of the glories of heaven that much. All I could see was the pain. And the sorrow. I could see it. I could see that it was very hard on my mom and dad. And I don't remember feeling angry at God, but I was angry at cancer. I felt so strong. I felt so strong and healthy and full of life and able to take on anything, that I wanted to destroy cancer. And I'm sure some of you here know it's a terrible thing to watch a person waste away like that. This kind of sorrow and pain is some of what we can face here on earth. And it's easy to only focus on that. My sister told different ones before she died to meet her in heaven, or that she would see them in heaven. Today she would be 44, and we might wonder what could have been. But 25 years ago, I think it's safe to say that angels carried her away to no more pain or sorrow or chemo treatments or anything. It tells us there when Lazarus died and the rich man, the angels carried him. And so I think that's what happens. The angels take us to heaven. Imagine 25 years of total freedom from anything painful, hard, or sad. And she's just getting started. This past Thursday, my wife almost died in the hospital. And in the couple of weeks after that, she struggled with that some because she was so close. The songwriter says, "What would it be like to look in the sky and see him descend? How will it feel to rise in the air and leave earth behind me, to fly like an eagle, soars toward the sun, to Jesus our Lord? What will it be like to know our next step will be heaven's portals, to know our next song with glory be sung with legions of angels? To look in the sky and see only shining city awaits us. To trade earthly cares with Jesus right there walking beside us. What will it be like when that trumpet blows to drop all I'm doing? Or just for a moment will I regret to leave all behind? I think the splendor of Jesus Christ, the joy when we see him, will eclipse every thought of things left behind. Our Savior is here. Then sometimes I fear how great the unknown of everything ceasing, to have the skies rent, the angels stretch o'er the land and the sea. But he says, fear not, it shall be like a father returning to children who long awaited the joy of his return. If you're like me this morning, you don't think of heaven enough and how Jesus is preparing for his children. And I don't know that it needs to be our main focus here on earth. The Bible actually devotes much less space to describe an eternity than it does revealing that eternal life is available as a free gift from God. And until we accept God's gift of salvation, we won't understand how awesome heaven will be. In closing, I'll read a quote. When we realize the future that awaits us, we will find strength to face our worst days and most difficult challenges. Let's stand for prayer.